Hey, today's daf is Daf Mem Tet, and we've been talking about the Get Mekushar. And it's kind of interesting because the way we explained it and the way the video I showed regarding it, how it was written, and this was, it's consistent with the Mefarshim, consistent with the way we learned in the Korban Eidah. Already last year, we kind of saw that there was some differences, and we're going to see more differences as we go along through that process. Because the way the impression was is they wrote a line, they folded over, stitched it, and signed on the back. Wrote a line, folded over, stitched it, and signed on the back. But we've already seen from the concern from last year that the whole get had to be written up from the outset. Because again, the witnesses are signing on it to make sure there's no forgery or anything bad. They have to make sure that they see that last line, that the person's makabel everything inside the get above it. That's already point number one. But we're going to see other differences as we go through. So let's continue from where we left off. It says, "Ve'afilu," you got she'afilu, "ve'afilu kosher v'chaka chotem." Now, what does that mean, "ve'afilu kosher v'chaka chotem"? This takes a bit of work. The Korban here says here, "milta bapet nafshu." We're talking about something else here. "V'kayam et niti," is referring to a Mishnah get kareach, meaning this get that's missing, if you like, signatures, that is pasul the ben nanas b'shalom mila, if you didn't fill it up with pasul signatures. Or Rabbi Akiva, even if you filled it with pasul psula el, it would be a problem. Afilu kashur v'achar kachotem, even if it was sewed up and then signed, then it's nami pasul. What's that mean? Or b'samach mafarish. So that's what it means. So it says as follows. Hada detema b'kosher kulun v'acharkach chatmu b'shlosha rishonim. Abalim kosher shlosha rishonim v'chotem. Afilu mekasher v'mechatem kama, sorry, kasher. So let me read the Korban Eidah to see how this fits in. So hada detema, in other words, lo amran ele mekasher kolak sharim. The whole issue with a get kareach is only if you've actually, in other words, it's been all written. You've signed, you've sewed up all the various sections, and now you've started signing signatures. That's when the gaps can possibly be a problem. And fine. Aval, im kashar gimu ksharim, meaning all you did was three folds and sewed it up. Rishonim, v'chatmu alav gimu eidim ksharim, and then it's been signed. Then mi'ikar adin, you've got a completely kosher get mekushar. Nachon? Because you've got three folds, three signatures, and you're done. However, afilu kasher acharka, then the Gemara says, even if you add extra folds after that point in time, kama ksherim v'chatam aleha kama edim, you can have multiple edim that are psulim. Afilu psulim, kasher shekvar nikasher begimul rishonim, that because since it's already become kasher with the three rishonim, then it's fine. V'hanach ksharim yeterim, all these extra folds, if you like, v'chitim matam ha'psulim, and their signatures of psulim, lav klum ninu, is not a problem. Okay? So in other words, it seems to be that the whole discussion gets off the ground is if, again, document was all written, then you did all the folds, and now you've written three signatures and you've got extra gaps, and how do we deal with the gaps? But if from the outset it was only a three-fold get mekushar, if you like, and then you had the three signatures, and now you're adding extra folds, you can leave out as many other psalms as you like. That's what it seems to be. Okay? Now, how this is really fits together with what we learned in the Korbanator like before with the Machloka ben Nanas and Rabbi Kiva, I'm not really sure, because before you said the whole Machloka ben Nanas Rabbi Kiva is when there's one witnesses Kodem Shechatmu Gimel Eidim. But here, in any Mimanafshach, you've got three kosher Eidim, so I'm not really sure how that fits together, but leave that for like further thought. Anyway, the Gemara Nasa says, now this is a really another important point that we're going to see how this, which goes against, again, the video and the description I gave in the beginning. Here's another important point. Hilchata, Gerem Mekushar, Mekasher V'Achar Kach Mechatem. Okay, first point is, Hilchata is, you've got to do the sewing first, and then you do the chatimah on them. Okay, so, which is interesting, which is, again, sounds like if we're piecing together everything we've learned, the whole get is written, including that final line. The witnesses all see it. Then you fold it all up, and then you get the person to sign. Why? Because I am mekasher rishon rishon v'chatmam. If it was folded over exactly like the video, one person signed. Then you folded it over again, and then one person signed. Pshita rishon v'sheni lo nimtzu chatumim beget mekushar. They're not signing on a get mekushar. Because it's not defined as a get mekushar until it got three folds. So they're signing on the back of a document which is meaningless. I'll read it, make it explicit now in the Korban Eidah. He says, Pshita de eidu rishon v'shena eino klum, it's meaningless. Sherei hanach eidu lo chatmu atzmam al get mekushar. They didn't sign on a get mekushar because you only had one or two folds. It's only defined as a get mukushar unless you've got three folds in the get. So, which is really interesting, because if we're going to, based on our learning so far, redo the video, this is how you'd have to do the video. You'd have to write a get with spaces, fully. Have the extra line at the bottom saying, and I makabel everything that's written in this document, so there can't be any forgery after that point, because it's written as a signature sign at the bottom. Then the person comes along, folds, does all the folds in the very sewing or stapling, if you like. And then the witness come along and sign in every one of the folds. That's what it seems to be. Okay, if we've understood the Yerushalmi correctly. Now the Gemara now says, Ma'anan kaimin. Now what's even the question Ma'anan kaimin? Gomer says, I'm initin deresh peregiet, pashut. It says, Zetnan Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel mer mukushar shekatav edyo mitocho, is kasher mitocho yishcholef lasoto pashut. So there's a machloket. If you've got to get mukushar, and the signatures are inside it, not on the back like they're meant to, it's not a problem, because simply undo the stitching and fantastic, you've got a nice document. So the Gemara is saying, what's even the machloket there? Im bekashru v'chatmu bifnim. If it's talking about where it was sewed up, but they signed inside the document at the bottom where it's meant to be, then everyone agrees and simply undo the stitching and you're fine. Kol ha'am modeh shu yachol la'asot ha'pashot. Im bekashru v'chatmu bibachutz. If obviously it was all sewed together and signed on the signatures on the back, then kol ha'am modeh that if you try and pull it apart, it's not going to help you. Because it's the signatures of a get pashut has been written inside. This is what we have to understand. That's bekashru v'chatmu, change the thing, mibachutz, v'achar kachatmu mibifnim. Now, this is an interesting case. This is what happened. It was like a get mukushar, was all signed on the back, and it would then also, after that, was also signed on the inside. Can you open it up and now turn it to get pashut? Now, why would you think otherwise? So, the first opinion, Reb Chananya ben Gamliel, says it's not a problem. Open it up, it's okay. You can make a pashut because the signature's on the inside. Have Rabbanan Amrin, no she'en yochel lasot pashut. You can't. Why can't you? It's because since it was already folded and signed properly like a normal get mekushar, it's now defined as a get mekushar. So you can't change it, something that already has a lachik status of a get mekushar, into a get pashut. Simple as, I should say pashut. Simple, you can't do that. Okay, that's a machloket between Rabbanan and Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. Now, Heshiv Rebbe al divrei Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. He says, what are you talking about? Because Gufol shall get mochiach alav. In other words, the nature of a get pashut and a get mekushar is different from one another. So simply, it's not just undoing the folds and you can then convert one type of a get to another. Look at the body of the get. Look the way the get is structured. It seems to be that you can tell that they're not convertible, if you like. Why? Because Eidzel get, Gufo shall get. What's a Gufo get? Specifically, get Mukushar. As we learned before, Amar Abak, Aida Amar Rav Huna, Lulam Ein Aidim Chotmim Bo, take it away, Laman Milamata, Achi Kru'u Bo. In other words, they can't write, sign and signature, unless they read inside it, Ani Ploni U Ploni Mukubala Alai, Kol Masha Bakshakatu Bilamala. There's almost like this signing off or acceptance, if you like, at the bottom of the get, that closes off that get or the contract of this get, saying, I'm accepting everything that's written above it. That's when you can do a get Mekushar. So you see quite clearly that a get Mekushar has that text at the bottom, and a get Pashut doesn't have that text at the bottom. So how can you convert one to the other? The actual text of the documents are different. For Gemara Sani, it says, Vaha Tani Tofse Shtarot Kenhu. We've got a bride that seems to suggest that all getim are like this. Amar Abana says, no Tofse Shtarot Mekusharim Kachu. We should read that it's talking about only get Mekushar. So once again, we're back to square one. The bodies of the documents are different. So how can you convert one to the other? So Amar Av Avin, Afilu Tema Hu Pashur Hu Mekushar, Mekushar Mekev Pashut, Einu Mekev. It's possible that no. That even if you want to have an extra muhudar get pashut, you can also write that closing statement. Meaning both gitin, both types of get, a get pashut and get mukushar, can have that text at the bottom. So therefore they are convertible. What's the difference? The difference is by a get mukushar, you have to have it at the bottom. So it can't be tampered with. Whereas a get pashut, you don't necessarily need to. But the fact that you can have, let's call a muhudar get pashut by adding that extra line at the bottom, well, that clearly means that they are convertible one to the other. So we've got a next question. What do you mean? Another explanation, if you like. Rav Acha Amar b'musif al halacha pashut b'shnayim u'minag b'shalosh osim oto shalosh. So similarly as well, even the number of signatures, even though we say there's a difference between a get pashut and a get mekushar, they've got 2 versus 3. Nonetheless, since if you want to have an extra muhuda get, you can actually add extra signatures, if you like. Therefore, even the number of signatures is not grounds to differentiate between different gittin, and therefore it doesn't stop us from converting one to the other. Similarly, mikusham macharav minhag mitocho. So the way the Korban Ha'eda points this out, I'll just read it here. It says here, "V'chen mekushar shidino shichtemu macharav kedetnan minag shichtemu mitocho macharav v'akol shufa d'shtara." It seems to be another type of thing where shufa d'shtara, another, if you like, thing. Hidur, if you like, to have signatures on both in the inside and the back, so there's no issue of conversion, which is a bit strange because we're trying to convert it from a kushar to a pashut. So the way I think that's the way the Korban explained. I think I saw an article, it quoted the Ramban that says actually no, some people's muhudar for even to get pashut to have signatures on the back, and because as in inside and in the back of the document, so therefore there's no issue of converting one to the next because again the appearance would be really materially and structurally identical. Okay, let's continue. Tanita, hacha v'tanita taman. Now, what's this hacha v'taman talking about? Hacha and taman is actually moving us somewhere else in Gittin. Hacha is talking about the fact that when it comes to a get, the edim of a get, let's call a get pashud, has to be at the bottom. If it's on the side or the top, then it's pasul. But then another type of, let's call a get, which is, in the word, get just means like a shtar. So in the world of shtarot and dinim mamonot, it also teaches the same din that the edim have to be at the bottom. Can't be on the side, can't be on the top. The Gemara says, Tanit Avatinach Taman, both in world of Gittin and world of, let's call it Choshe Mishpat, that is also learned the same din. The question is, why do I need to teach this din of where the signatures are for both Gittin and the world of Choshe Mishpat? So the Gemara now says, this is Bava Batra, that where there is in the Perikol Get Pashut. So the Gemara now says, no, we need both. If we just learned the case of Gittin, we didn't teach it back there in Mesnech Bava Batra. Having Amrin, we would say, we might say that it's more grounds to be machmir by get because it's chomer da'ayor, isu karet. So therefore, more machmir in terms of where the signatures are. But maybe when it comes to the mamamot, there's a bit more flexibility. Taman al sheino chomer ba'ayor kasher. Therefore, have a tzrich lemin etaman. That's why you need to teach the sugya mesek lebav v'batra, that the signatures critically have to also be at the very bottom of the document. Or ilu matnaya taman had only just taught us in bava v'batra. V'lo manid hacha have an amri. Maybe it's different in bava v'batra. M'moch machmir bava v'batra taman alidei shu gova bo psul. Avik bobo, then it's basul. So it's packed away a bit better. That in other words, because there you're extracting finances from somebody. Ah, we're more machmir, the company tampering has to be at the bottom, etc., etc. It has to be very, very specific. You're not using the get to collect anything. You're using it to divorce her, and then she comes and collects the ketubah from you. Then, that's when in both cases, both Bava Batra and also here in Gittin, okay, that wasn't directly related to this, what we were learning specifically as we're talking about get. Mekushar, this is a get pashut suge, and it's related. Actually, the daf is further down. We're going to be learning that. I think further on. Yes. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara says, so where was the Hadronach Perak Hazorak get leishtoh? Hadronach Perak Hazorak get leishtoh? Hadronach Perak Hazorak get leishtoh? Now the Gemara, this is now the next mission. We're now starting the ninth Perak. Hamagreshi tishov amar lahareat mutar lakol adam ele leishplodi. So he's saying you're divorced, you're now mutar to marry anybody, which he has to say in the get, except for so-and-so. Rebbe Eliezer says it's matir, that's fine, it's a kosher get. Where Chachamim says absolutely not a kosher get. Okay, quite really what that means is you can go marry anyone in the world except for that individual. So we have to see why this works, how this works, why he says it's okay. Now, the debate's really behind the debate. So Keitzad Yaseh, what should he do if he would, in other words, this is important, he said it at the handing over of the get. Harit Melkalim Chutz Miploni. So, what should he do? We'll take it back and let him be menel. V'yachzor and hand it over again without any tnai whatsoever. Amar laharim matar lekol adam. You're permitted to marry anyone you like. Ink tval betocho. If, however, it was written as a term or a clause inside the get itself, then the get is completely pasul. Afal pi shechazar machako. Even if you try to wipe it out, it is pasul. Okay, we'll get to discussing that. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ili, what's the svara behind these two opinions? How can Rabbi Eliezer say, if he gives a wife and says, get to his wife and says, you're married to kol adam except for so and so, why would it possibly work? So he says it's quite simple. Rabbi Eli says, time of the Rabbi Eliezer, it says, Vayatza mi beito v'alchai v'atavet ishacher. The pasuk says, she goes out from his house and she goes and marries another person. Meaning, he understands, again, Rabbi Eli's understanding of Shir Rabbi Eliezer is that because it's ishacher, mashma that it's a get, afilu lo itay, let's shal adam achad, acher, even if you're just allowed to go one person, it is considered a good get. Gemara doesn't like that, svara. Why? Because shmuta ruba mimatnita. Because the svara, based on Rabbi Eli, seems to be a bigger chiddush than what the Mishnah is saying. Because the Mishnah, matnita amra, Mishnah says, shhutra la kol, she's mutter to everybody except for so-and-so. Va'asra la adam echad. Shmuata, what Rabbi Eli was presenting, seems to be that he's made an asu to everybody except for one person. So if you wanted to say that was a real svara, rationale behind Rabbi Eliezer, you should have just said the mubiga chiddush, saying you are muteret only to so-and-so. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. So it must be a different rationale behind Shita Rebbe Eliezer. So that's why the Gemara says, my time at Rebbe Eliezer. What then is the Sfarah behind Shita Rebbe Eliezer? Amar de kol adam chutz miponeh that it works. So it says, mita materet v'get mut matir. Both death and a get is matir. Basically, takes her out of the marriage. Ma mita materet u'mechetza af get matir u'mechetza. What's matir u'mechetza? Matir u'mechetza basically means that it's not a full heter. Meaning, she's not allowed to marry the same number of people she's allowed to marry before they got married. Meaning, even if he died. How so? Because if you remember, there is isur ariot as a result of marriage. For example, you know, he's not the shumbel, if out of the context of the very simplest one, she now can't marry, even if the husband dies, her brother-in-law. She won't be able to marry. Now, that's something that it's not mut, that is, was mutar before marriage and not mutar after marriage. So therefore, when it comes to the gittin, when you give a get, the idea is that the scope, if you like, the heter, doesn't have to be equal to the scope of what she was able to, who she was able to marry in the beginning. That's the proof. I'll read quite clearly in the Korban Eda. He says, so it's a heket between if he died or whether he gave her a get. Makir gele mita. Ma mita lo kol adam hutra kodem nisuim mita matira. Shrei ne'asim ala mishum kurva. Any relatives, ba'ala, the ba'ala, the any relatives of the husband, asuran la'olam, forever. Afilu l'achar mita taval. So get, of a geta, doesn't have to, af ein she'ena matira, even if it's a matira l'kol adam, then it is considered a get. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, that's, now we can answer Rabbi Eliezer, so what then is the position of the Chachamim? So my tamad rabbanan, it says, no ve'etza mi beito, v'alcha ve'etza li shake acher. That's different now. In other words, he doesn't do a hekesh between death and a get. There's a hekesh we see all over the time, like, you know, all over the place. We see in Gittin and Kiddushin that there's a hekesh between the atzah v'eta, v'etzah mi'eto v'eta, sorry, hekesh that's usually pronounced more succinctly, v'etzah v'eta. You know, the pasuk says v'etzah mi'eto v'achah v'eta v'ishacher, meaning Gittin is connected to Kiddushin, there's a hekesh in the pasuk itself. And many dinim are learned from one another. We've seen this a few times already. Hekesh yitziyata l'v'eta. We connect her divorcing, her leaving, to her havaya of getting married. Meaning, ma ve'ata in la havaya etzel acher. Just as when it comes to marriage is complete. We don't say you're now asu to everybody except for a couple of people. You're still allowed to go marry. No, she's exclusive to her husband. So to afi yetziata in la havaya etzel acher. So to the yetziya also has to be, let's call it exclude, like a complete, let's call it that, with no shiurim, nothing left over. Not shiurim, but shiurim, okay? That's the drash of Chachamim. Okay, so that's how we understand the debate with Psukim that seem to support both two different types of Hekesh, both between Rebbe Eliezer and Chachamim. However, it's the Gemara says, Lachar mitato shel Rebbe Eliezer, after Rebbe Eliezer passed away, nichnasu arba zkenim lashiv al divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Four zkenim came to try and bring kashas and arguments against the position of Rebbe Eliezer. So Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, who were there? So it was Rabbi Lazariah, Rabbi Yossi Yaglili, Rabbi Tav, and Rabbi Akiva. So Amar and Rabbi Yeshua says, no, ein atem mishivim et ha'ari lachar mita. You can't now start bringing kashas on this line, this huge Talmid Chacham after his death. Why so? Is it a matter of respect? Well, not just that. Because if you look at the Korban Eida, it says, im haya kayam, if he was alive, maybe shem yachsila him tshuva. Meaning, let's assume he was at least as clever as you. He probably considered your arguments anyway, but you don't have the opportunity. Now, because he doesn't have the opportunity to respond, you're going to think your arguments are a good one. If he was alive, it wouldn't necessarily been a good one, because Reb Eliezer would have been able to respond. So therefore, it seemed to Reb Yeshua wanted to puzzle the whole enterprise. However, nonetheless, Heshiv Rebbe Tarfon. So we're going to spend the rest of the shiur will be on Rebbe Tarfon's response. If you remember, that was Rebbe Elazar ben Azar, Rebbe Yossi Aglili, Rebbe Tarfon, Rebbe Akiva. So Rebbe Tarfon steps up and he says, "Hareish Amar Harei At Muter LaKol Adam Chutz Miploni." Okay, this is what's happened. The man divorces his wife. Let's assume it works according to Rebbe Eliezer. And it says, you're divorced, you're allowed to marry anybody as one's allowed to get, except for so-and-so. And then what happens? Valcha, and she goes and marries who? The brother of this so-and-so. And he said, Lachiv. Met, and now this husband, man she married, dies without having any children. And the problem is, she can't, the surviving brother is the one that was excluded from the get in the beginning. Heyach zemit yabemet. The person can't do, this brother can't do Yibum, because based on the first get, if you remember, he was never allowed to marry her. So the effect of giving such a get, Harav Kolim Chutz Miploni, is Lo Nimtza Matnei Mashakot BaTorah. You've now made a stipulation that results in going against the Din Torah. The Din Torah is, in the context of man passed away and having children, you meant to do Yibum. But because of the stipulation of husband number one, the surviving brother is not able to do Yibum. So you've done something that's manei mashakot, but the Torah, you made a t'nai that goes against the Torah. And generally, we say manei mashakot, sorry, manei mashakot b'Torah, t'nai batel. V'kol manei mashakot b'Torah, t'nai batel. Sorry, that's exactly what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, ma'ata lo yisa et bat achiv. So the Gemara says, oh, you think that's a real good reason, real good kasha? The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, a man shouldn't be able to marry his niece. Why? Because in that situation, if he passes away, the surviving brother, which is his niece's father, won't be able to do Yibum as well. And you're doing something against Mashakatu Batorah. The Gemara says, no, how can you compare the two cases? Amar Rav Yossi Barbun, Svara Taimet Taman HaTorah Asarta Alav. There, if someone marries their niece, why isn't the brother allowed to the surviving brother, which is the father of the wife, the widow, not allowed to do Yibum because the Torah makes it asur. That's something to din d'oraita. He's not, by marrying her, he's not doing something mamash, you know, to oker devar mashu b'Torah. No, that's a din d'oraita. Full stop. But I'm hacha here. It's the t'nai in the get that's creating this problem, and therefore you can clearly say it's that you're making time mashash katu b'Torah. So that's why is that's, if you like, the kasha that Rebbe Tarfon is presented. Okay, so in other words, the kasha presented is if you allow this concept of, again, it's a kasha on Rebbe Eliezer, that if you're Harem Motolag Chutz Miploni, it would result in being something, it result in being a Tna Mashakotu BaTorah, because you're going to create a problem in the context, for example, as we said, if she ends up going married at part of the second marriage, the brother of this individual who is, let's put a black, has a black mark on him, and if that person dies without children, he wouldn't be able to Yibum Chalitza and Tna Mashakotu BaTorah. The Gemara now says, "Heitiv Rav Chananya." Before we get to the other Tanaim, which we're going to get to in next year, Rav Chananya ben Pishem Rav Pinchas, Nitni Shishar Shanashin Kareb Eliezer, because what these Amoraim and Avrin Kash is built on this same idea, meaning built on that Rebbe Tarfon's position that it's going to create, if you like, an Issa Ayot, it's going to create problems in the context of Yibum Chalitza. So, if you remember here, we said that there were Sheshesre Arayot that if a it's a tsarot that makes the tsarot patro yom chalitza. If I think that's what I'm referring to, yes. But it doesn't say 16, it says 15. And that's when, if you remember, we did this in Sechli Yabamot. And what was the halachic, the practical halach that came out of it? What that meant is, if there were two wives, and one of these wives of the man who passed away without any children was an isur arayot, one of these 15, to a surviving brother, then not only she's patur ibum chalitza, but also the tzara as well. Okay, those are 15. What the Gemara is now saying, based on this whole rationale we've been bringing, that it could, according to Rebbe Eliezer, you could create then a 16th arayot that would have the same effect. What's the 16th? Oh, an individual who was excluded from a first marriage in a get. Because that's another din arayot, because it's asis or arayot. So Amar Rav Manan, no, kvar itma taimed taman haTorah asarta alav, ram hacha, hu asra alav. He says, no, you can't bring, if you like, don't bring that as a kasha, because there, the Charmesh Zera Arayot that the first mission in Eruvin, sorry, in Yavama was talking about those Din D'oraita, and here is one that's constructed through a Tanai. Okay. Now Gemara says, Rav Yirmiyah, however, Bayi Hare, sorry, it's actually interesting. You've got a Tishtinu Giris of the Kromanes says it should be Ne'ena Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Hare Sha'amar. Okay. But in other words, we've got it in front of us. You know, Rav Yirmiyah Abaye says, Hare Sha'amar, Hare Amutar Lekol Adam, Chutz Miploni, V'achav Niset Lacher, Umet, Heyach Ze Matir Masha Asa HaRishon. So just to explain this, I want to read you I want to read the Korban Eidah. He says, V'chene B'Tosefta V'achi Pirushon, the Tani B'Tosefta, more than Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer agrees that if she marries somebody else, Im nit armela or nit garsha, and then she becomes a widow or she's divorced from husband now number two, that would now allow her, if you like, muterli nasel lezesh nesar alav. Then she's now allowed to marry anybody she likes. So let's just go through the flow of events again. Husband number one divorces, sets chutz miploni. So let's that individual on the side. She goes and marries somebody else. Then that husband unfortunately dies or he divorces her. Now she's muter lekol adam, and she can go and marry that ploni if she likes. So it seems that Rebbe Eliezer agrees with that. So the Gemara, what the Gemara now says is that creates a question: Heyach ze matir masha asazeh? How is it possible to that one person can matir what somebody else was aser? How does that even work? So milta amra, from here the Gemara deduces that what shemitata shemitato, sorry, amra shemitato girushin. So Milta Amra. So go Korbanet says, Mid Rav Shamina Demode Rebbe Yazar Shemitato Ugerushin Shelsheni, the either death or the divorce of the second birth. Martin Masha Asar Rishon. This is like the way we already explained it, can appreciate. So Gemara responds, Amar Rav Yirmiyah. He says, Lo Amar El Shemitato Girushin Hanisuin Lo. So just to explain this, well, the different Girusa here, the Korbanet says, you should read it as follows. Amar Lo Amar El Girushin Avl Mitato Lo. That's how you should read it. Meaning, Hachi Birusha, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yirmiyah Paligal Stamba de Shas. He's cholik on this, what we just read in Gemara. V'kamar lo shamina mi de Rabbi Shimon Melaza Ela. You can't learn that point. Ela de Rabbi Eliezer matir bigrushay sheni. It's only really girushay sheni, not mitato. The girushin of the sheni that it's going to be matir. Shamar beferush hare muter mekol adam. Because when he divorces her, he says now hare at muteret lekol adam. And by saying that explicitly makes it mutar everyone, including this ploni that was excluded by marriage divorce number one. Al mita sheni, but if the second guy dies, efshar, maybe not. Maybe the sovereign de inu materet isor shalom. Maybe not. Maybe he wouldn't matir the isor of the rishon. So again, but it's just the Yirmiyah is cholek here on this diuk, if you like. But it still seems to be left with a number of questions, really, in Rebbe, this built on Rebbe Tarfon's kasha. About within Rishit the Rebbe Eliezer. But we have not finished with Korat Kana Mitzuga, and next year begins with Rebbe Yossi Aglili's presentation of a Kashan Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, so
Thank you. Thank you.